Yesterday was a special day for several reasons. Some of you who like football, there was lots of football. If you like baseball, there was some baseball. If you like goofing off, there was a whole day to do that for some of you away from work. But it was a special day because a group called the Sojourners, a group of people who are generally retired people who are led by an eldership out in Texas, they have organized to do mission work of different kinds. They travel in their own vehicles, usually to wherever they're invited to go to. And their mission is to teach the Word of God. I know that they do some physical labor for churches that need that, but they do gospel meetings and they do door knocking. And they're just a good group of people that work hard on behalf of the Lord. Well, yesterday was a special day because the Sojourners tried to get at least 200 congregations involved in a door-knocking opportunity all on the same day. As it turned out, I think 430 different congregations participated in that particular door-knocking effort, and Henderson was one of those congregations. And it was a good thing. Several people gathered yesterday afternoon, and went out into the community knocking on doors. And it's kind of interesting when you do that. You meet people that you didn't know you knew. I saw three individuals look at David Willis and say, "Hey, I had you in class when you taught geometry out at the high school." And they would talk with him about that. And we had the opportunity to talk to people about their spiritual lives, ask them if there were circumstances in their life that they would like to pray about, that they would like to ask questions about. We encouraged them to think in a spiritual way about their lives. We would invite them to come and be a part of our worship and our congregation here. And I know that there were many other good things that were done by people who were working yesterday afternoon. And I hope that we can use that effort as a springboard into a more often, more organized way of reaching out to our community, to the world. And I'm hoping that more of you would have some interest in being part of that as that becomes more of a reality. I've been so thinking about trying to be good. That's hard. When my children heard me tell them what I expected of them over the years, I remember my son went to Fried Hardeman and he signed up as a pre-med major. And he came to me at the end of a semester and he said, "Dad, I'm going to drop this pre-med thing." He said, "I was only doing that because of you." I said, "Because of me? I have never one time encouraged you to be a pre-med major." He said, "Well, I thought that would be something you would want me to do, and I was doing it just for you." And I said, "Oh, I appreciate that. But it doesn't matter to me what you major in college. That really doesn't matter to me." I said, "There are two things." And he and I talked about this the other day again. "There are two things I want from you. Number one is I want you to be good." And I would explain being good means doing what the Lord would have you to do and live that kind of good life. And along with that, I want you to think about being responsible. And what I mean by being responsible is you get a job, you take care of yourself, you take care of your business. If you have a family, you take care of your family. Those are the two things I want from you. I want you to do good. I want you to be responsible. Those are hard things. Sometimes we would love to have jobs that have great responsibility, but when we get them, it's kind of hard to deal with some days. That responsibility is tough. And I know that there are people in this room that really want to be good. But being good is hard. And God gives us all kinds of information about being good. And once again, I have to confess to you, when I tell my children I want them to be good, I've not always been as good of an example of that as I've needed to be to them. And I've apologized to them several times over the years. And I've tried to remind them, that is not who I want to be. That's not what I want to be. I want to be more like the Christ. I want to be good. And I'm holding over, we're starting this month, Words of Wisdom. And those are great. And there's some great messages that we will never get to in this pulpit in the wisdom literature that God gives us. And Billy's going to begin that tonight with a super message, I think, that we need to think about with the relationship to how great God is, how great God created us. There's so many good things that he will bring to us tonight. But I wanted to continue Words of Paul one more time because I'd already planned this lesson for last month, and the way things worked out, I did not get to deliver it. And so I wanted to carry out my plan to talk about being good and raise the question with you, do you really want to be good? And I want everybody that's accountable before God, from young people all the way to those of us who are older. And I want us to keep that question in mind as we think about this message. Do you really want to be good? Well, I'm looking at a passage from the book of Galatians. And Paul has pointed out from the very beginning of this book how foolish the Galatians were. They had traded in the gospel message for another gospel, which really was not good news at all. They heard what they wanted. They decided that would be it. But it was not the good news that Paul preached to them about their salvation through Christ Jesus and the grace and mercy and love that comes to us only through Christ Jesus. They were wanting to go back to the old law, and they wanted to be saved by the works of the law, and they wanted to do the things that were done. Some of them were teaching that, yes, you need to be baptized, but you also need to be circumcised. And Paul's conclusion about that is, what is circumcision? It's really nothing. What really matters is a faith working through love. And that's where we have to go. Well, the Galatians, Paul just straight out said in chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Who led you away from the truth?" What led you away from the truth? And I want us to move into chapter 6 and take a look at some of these verses here that help us see how the Galatian people could be good. And guess what? It is how you and I can be good. Do you really want to be good? You're going to be listening to the Apostle Paul tell you about how you can be good. You know, I think that I had a good idea when I said to my children, "I want you to be good." And I meant doing what God says that we ought to do. And I still believe that today. I want my children, but I want me. I want me to lead them in doing what is good, that can make us good. Paul begins chapter 6 in verse 1 by talking about gently correcting people who are in sin. We see people sin and make mistakes all the time, don't we? All we have to do is look in the mirror. We see it. But we see it in our children. We see it in our grandchildren. We see it in our friends. We see it in people at work. We see it out in the world. It's all around us. So what do we do when people sin and fall short of the glory of God? Paul says, you who are spiritual. You want to get a message out of the book of Galatians. He is trying to teach us to walk in the Spirit's way. And this is what we start doing with those who are in sin. You who are spiritual. If you see yourself as wanting to be good, wanting to be like Christ, wanting to be spiritual in your life, one of the things you're going to do is you're going to look at people. You folks over here are going to be looking at people in high school, people that have terrible language problems, people that have behavior problems, attitude problems, and you're going to be gentle with them in trying to help them. See, that's not the way to live. Those of you who are still working at the job you have, you're going to see those people doing things that are not right, and you want to lead them to a better way of life. You want to lead them to do what is good. You restore people. I and about as country as dirt sometimes, and may be offensive to some people. But I use illustrations and languages that might not be so sophisticated, but they resonate with me. And I see sometimes those of us who preach trying to body slam people into the church and trying to run them in and force them in by the way that we teach and sometimes by the way that we preach. But you can't body slam anybody into being good. You cannot do that. You can't force them into being good. And so we lead. Jesus is the shepherd for a reason. He leads. And you who are spiritual, restore that person who is found in sin in a gentle way, helping them see the Lord and being what they ought to do. But Paul reminds us in verse 1, you keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. There's so many ways in which the devil gets us, and we need to be thoughtful about that. And as we think about that, we have to take care of ourselves. It's easy for me to see your problems and your sins and your faults. Very hard to see me the way I really am sometimes. Jan sees me and corrects me every so often because I need it. I don't see myself responding the way I do. I think I'm being gentle and kind, and I'm like a bull in a china closet sometimes, she points out to me. And the sickening thing about that is she's right when she does that. You see, what she's trying to do is gently correct me and getting me to first take care of myself. This passage in Matthew chapter 7 about judging, we love to use that when somebody says something about what we're doing. Hey, don't judge me. We need to be thoughtful and be willing to judge ourselves. Why are you looking at this big plank in somebody else's eye, Jesus says, or rather this speck in somebody else's eye, when you have a big plank in your own eye? We need to be thoughtful about ourselves. And if you really want to be good and you want to move in gently restoring people back to a right relationship with God, do it gently, keeping a watch on yourself. The second thing that Paul says, if you really want to be good, you're going to be willing to carry the burdens of other people. We're too quick in our culture to say, that is none of my business. Sometimes we stick our nose in where it really is none of our business. But when we see a brother or a sister, someone who is doing something that is sinful, it is our business if we want to be good. And so in restoring people back to the Lord in a gentle fashion, taking a look at ourselves, we need to carry the burdens of other people, Paul says. Bear one another's burdens. Mutual burden bearing fulfills the law of Christ. You want to be good doing what God says? You look out there and see someone who is struggling and help them bear up under that load. That's what it takes. All of us have people in our lives, our friends, our family members, who are struggling in some way. Get under that load with them and help them bear the burden that they have. Now, all of us recognize these passages that teach us to cast your burdens on the Lord. God cares. He wants us to do that. But sometimes we say, look, you got problems. Turn them over to the Lord. That's the answer. It's not the only answer. It is an answer, but it's not the only answer. It is the best thing that we can do ourselves personally, whether anybody cares about helping us or not. Turn the problems that you have over to the Lord. We need to learn better how to do that. All of us do. But in the meantime, God gives me the responsibility, if I want to be good, to get under that burden with my brothers and sisters and people that I love and help them bear that burden. Yes, God cares for us, and He wants us to cast our burdens upon Him, but He is telling you, you help bear the burdens of other people if you really want to be good. And then third, You have the responsibility to carry your own burdens. If you're waiting on the Lord to answer all of your problems, or if you're waiting on someone else to come along and say, look, I know you're really struggling, let me take care of that for you, or let me help you with that, we sometimes get the impression that we do not need to bear up under our own burdens. While I was preaching in a gospel meeting in Martin, Tennessee this last week, I learned of a dear friends, a couple that I love dearly. They work with me in my role at Fried Hardeman often and a lot. They're great people. But their son turned away from the Lord, and he embarrassed them. He hurt them. He's hurting them today, if I understand what's going on. By the way that he lives, they've got a real burden in their lives. A child who is living an openly ungodly life and is not only not sad about it, but flaunting it. Like Paul said, there's some people who are not at all concerned, but you're bragging about the sin. It's the way this young man seems to be living. It's a real burden. But you see, what they've chosen is they've chosen to leave God behind. They've stopped going to church. They've answered a problem in their life by turning God away. They are such good people in one sense of the word. They have friends who've been to them, who've talked to them, who've tried to help them get under that burden with them and help them, but they refuse. But it seems to me also they refuse to bear their own burden. You see, it's a combination of all of these things that God wants from us if we want to be good. We're going to cast our anxieties as best we can upon the Lord. We're going to use other people, good people, to help us with the burdens that we have and the problems and trials that we have. But we're going to stand firm and we're going to bear up under the burdens, trusting in God, seeking His help. Now, sometimes there are people who bear up under their burdens and they do well. But Paul warns us of a problem. There's a real possibility of spiritual pride. Look, I've done that. You can too. So get up and get going. And we leave that gentle reasoning behind and that gentle encouragement behind. And we begin to treat them like if you would be like me, you'd be a lot better off. And that's not so. There is no room for spiritual pride. Constantly, God tries to get us to think of ourselves as we ought to think. Paul mentions it here in chapter 6 and verse 3. Paul mentioned it in Romans 12 and verse 3. Do not let a man think more highly of himself than he ought to think. And then in Philippians 2 verses 1 through 4, let each one count others better than himself. And then points to the fact in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He had the attitude that we ought to have, the mindset that we ought to have in thinking of every person in this room as better than himself. That's why he died on the cross. There is no room for spiritual pride when we start thinking about how good we are and how bad other people are. You see, that's one of the ways that we need to guard ourselves, because we'll look at other people that we see have a sin in their lives and we'll begin to think we're better than they are. And Paul said, oh no, you need to think of yourself in the way that you should as you carry your own burden. Let each one test his own work. Paul taught that to the church in Corinth when he told them to examine themselves to see whether they were in the faith. Take a constant look at yourself. See what is going on in your life. Deal with things that are in your eye. There may be a plank here and a speck there, and you are concentrating on the speck. True self-examination is hard work because it often humbles us. It lets us see who we really are and what we really are in some ways and how much we need God and how much we need the mercy of God ourselves and the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. And so we need to be ready to test our own work if we really want to be good. And then, if you want to be good, don't give up. Don't become weary in doing good. And the reason is, God says, in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Right now, the farmers are hoping for a little rain, I think. But man, they've enjoyed some great harvesting weather. You've been driving around seeing dust flying, yes, because we haven't had much rain. But I'm telling you, I was watching a cotton picker the other day in a good-looking cotton field, and that thing was throwing cotton like crazy into that bin. I was watching people cutting corn with that combine and going down through there, and they are harvesting a great crop because it is the due season for harvesting. They couldn't have harvested that stuff back in June. They might have needed the money back in June, but they couldn't harvest it back in June because it was not the season for harvest. God's telling us He's in control of the season for harvesting spiritual blessings. You young people may have to wait a long time to get what you think you need, or you may have to wait a long time to get what you actually need. But don't give up, because you're going to reap at the right time, when it's God's time, when it is time to do what we ought to do. We need to think. Opportunity means responsibility. We had a great opportunity yesterday to go into our neighborhood, and we had a responsibility to do that. That opportunity is not over. It's every day. And the responsibility is not fulfilled. It's every day. And so Paul's conclusion here is, let us do good to everyone. Are there some people that you think don't deserve it? Well, there are people that don't deserve it. But none of us deserve the goodness that God has given to us. So let us do good to everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. Even when we know better, we still make mistakes, and we need help, and we ought to be ready to help people who are in the household of faith. Doing good. Gently restore people. Help take care of them. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Keep spiritual pride in check. And don't quit doing good. This morning, as we close this message, it's an opportunity for anybody to respond in a public way that would need to. If you know today you need to be baptized into Christ and you're ready to repent of your sins and make Christ your Lord and Savior by telling Him, I want to obey you, this is a great time to do that. It's not the only time, but it's a great time. If you're a child of God and you need to turn back to God's family, pray that God will forgive you. This is a great time. Right now, while we stand, while we sing. Thank you.